Blog Talk Radio.
I got caught in the rain and the storm. My surprise. Jesus, I need you. Follow your way. Jesus, when it's stormy and cloudy, without you, my world would be a mess. Lord, I need you every day. My surprise, in my vision and my purpose. Oh, you are the not to wake our way. Without you, my world would be a mess. God, I'm more than a conqueror, love a conqueror. I'm born for more than this, I will succeed. I am victorious in His name. God has faith in you, now I can live again. I am victorious in His name. No more chains are holding me. I'm free. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I win. Should I go? Should I cross? Should I stay? I'm confused. Lord, fix it for me. My mind is telling me you'll never make it. There's a voice in my heart. It's telling me that I'm more than a conqueror, overcomer. I'm born for more than this, I will succeed. I am victorious in His name. God has made me new, now I can live again. I am victorious in His name. No more chains are holding me. I am free. I'm more than a conqueror. I win. So I got up from my slumber and I reaffirmed myself. I am the head. I'm not the tail. I am the head. And I reaffirmed myself. I am above. I'm not the heat. And I reaffirmed myself. I shall live. In abundance, I am victorious in His name. God has made me new, so I can live again. I am victorious in His name. No more chains are holding me. I am free. This is sweet.
Show me where to take my feet.
Tell me what can I do to live in the glory. I love to worship you, Father, you honor me. Father, you are my master. Yeah. I don't want to fall in no disaster. You got all the answers. That's why I don't want to leave. So Tell me what can I do? What can I do?
Summer and winter, day and night. Come from a pure heart. Come from a clean heart. Just I know. turn the tide and come home.
Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Jesus, make a way for me, and you can't catch me again. You see me, but you can't catch me again. I am moving forward and not backward. I am victorious and not defeated. Hallelujah. I am more than a conqueror. Because I win. No more change I hold in me. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and we glorify your name. We honor you, Jesus, by obedience, O God. You said if we love you, we will keep your commandments. And Father, we keep your commandments by obeying your word, honoring your word, living according to your instructions. Oh, my Father, my Savior, my Lord, I call out to you this morning with desperation for our nation. Our nation is in great distress. Those that are in leadership, those that are in control, are destroying our nation. And Father, we call upon you, the only one that can change the tide. You're the one that can change the tide, O God. You said if your people which are called by your name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, you would forgive their sins and heal their land. This morning we come, O God, with hearts full of sorrow, Lord, for all those that family members in Chicago that lost their family members in the grocery store because of wickedness, evilness, O God. We are in this one world and many different religions, many different gods, but only one true God. And Lord, we cry out this morning, why can't we all live together? Lord, as people want to live in their mindset to go to hell, we can't stop them. We give them an opportunity as we tell them about you. We tell them about Jesus. And if they don't want to receive Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior, as their Redeemer and their soon coming King, we can't do anything about it. We give them the opportunity. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins, even as we forgive others that trespass against us. We ask you to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, my Father, I thank you for the weather that is getting warm, and we don't have to worry about snow, driving through the snow and slipping and sliding and getting into an accident, hurting ourselves or hurting somebody else. We ask today, Lord, that you allow the air conditioning unit to run fine. And, oh, God, we pray that you would give us some jobs. Let all people that tell each other talk about us, tell others about our skill, that we would get some work so we can help others. Oh, God, bless Abigail Malwa in Nairobi, Kenya, little girl that was suffering convulsions. We thank you for healing her body, opening her lungs that she can breathe clearly, and causing her intestines to operate fine. We pray, oh, God, that you have the people to give so that we could donate to India and help the pastors there through the ministry meetings that they are having with all the souls that are coming to know Christ as their Lord and their Savior. In Jesus' holy name, this morning we want to talk about honoring God with obedience. Honoring God with obedience. You know, how many of us, we, from time to time, we'll say that we love the Lord or we honor the Lord or we praise the Lord, but we find it very difficult to obey him. We find it very difficult to obey him. Remember, we talked about Joel yesterday, how the people will come before the Lord one way, looking very eloquent on the outside. I mean, they look very excited. Everything was nice on the outside. but on the inside, there was like an open sepulcher, like a tomb, like a grave. I mean, it was filthy on the inside because God looks at the heart while man look at the outer appearance. Hallelujah, glory to God. And he expecting us to really concentrate on building our heart towards him. That's what he is looking for. Hallelujah. There's five parables in this text that I'm reading from this morning. And we're coming out of Luke chapter 18. And you know I teach the whole scroll, the whole roll, because this is where I get it. I don't know how other people get it, but this is how I get it. I have to teach the whole thing, teach and preach it. And we're talking about honoring God with obedience. Honoring God with obedience.
Amen. Amen.
Honoring God with obedience. Thank you, Brother Deacon. Honoring God with obedience. And it's very hard, even like from kids, you know, we find when we were kids, we tell mama, you say, mama said, no, boy, make sure you get back here before the sun go down. You say, okay, mama, I'm just going to play with my friends out there. I'm going to play soccer. I'm going to play baseball. I'm going to play cricket. I'm going to play football. Yes, mama. And after the game, I'm going to come right home. We say that. And we say, mama, you know, yes, mama. Yes, mama. Yes, daddy, I'm going to do that. And when the sun is going down, somebody comes up with some other thought. Let us go over by John's house. Let's go over by Peter's house. Let's go over by Mary's house. They're going to watch a movie. They're going to watch Batman. They're going to watch this or whatever. They're going to go. They're going to play the Nintendo, you know, Xbox. And we find ourselves disobeying mama, disobeying daddy. That's the same thing we do to God. We say, Lord, you know, I'm not going to be cussing anymore, Lord. I'm not going to be stealing anymore. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm going to go to church, Lord. I'm going to fellowship and I'm going to praise you. We tell God all of these things. And we say that we love him, but we don't honor him. You know, and I was laying there yesterday evening, and I said, Lord, the people are busy that I want to get that helps me. They're busy. And they're trying to take care of some problems of their own. You know, we all have to take care of problems from time to time. You know, sometimes I got to go there and do some stuff. Like now I'm ordering some emergency brakes from a truck. And the site is keep messing up, but I like to get it from the geek because you get a good price. And I'm going to put them on myself because my emergency brakes, they still hold, but I can drive through them. If you can drive through them, they're not working well, you know. So if you pull the brakes and you turn on the car not thinking you drive off and the car can drive through the emergency brakes, that means your emergency brake is not working well. The shoes need to be replaced. So I had looked at them before when I replaced the rear disc brakes and the front disc brakes. And I realized that those shoes need to be replaced. So I need to replace them. And I make my mind up that I will do this. Not do all that because those people charge too much money. And if I can save myself $1,000 or so, I do that. The guy told me he wants to charge me $1,200 now to change some stained knuckles or something. Well, I know it doesn't need no stained knuckles. It don't need changing. If your stained knuckles are going bad, you would get some vibration on your steering wheel. It's not going to just go like that. You know, once it get loose, it's going to vibrate. Every time you hit a certain place in the road, it's going to vibrate. I have no vibration. I can release the steering wheel and the car will drive smooth. But I'll get on if they put my jack. I got one of those big jacks you use at the gas station. And I'm going to jack it up. And I'm going if they're not going to check all the knuckles. If they need replacing, I will replace them myself. He wants $1,200 to replace when I had one side replaced already. You know, and if Cadillac would have told me. When they tell me, I do it myself. I didn't know how to do it at the time. So, you know, I didn't have the equipment, but now I got the tools. Anyway, we're talking this morning, coming out of Luke chapter 18. And we are going to be talking about honoring God with obedience. Honoring God with obedience. You know, and I'll give you that illustration with how we say we honor our parents. And the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long in the land. And you see a lot of kids' lives are being shortened because they have no respect, no honor for their parents. And then the parents will still say, oh, he was a good boy. She was a good girl. She, you know, she was disobedient. If she's 18 years old and she's still running the streets at 2 o'clock in the morning, she's not obeying you. She should be at home. If she don't have her own home, she should be home in the bed. You know, they don't obey their parents. So you're wondering why all this stuff is happening, because we say we do, but we don't. We say we love the Lord, but the Lord requires us to honor him, to pray and seek his face, and we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to fast. We don't have time to seek him because we are busy trying to keep up with the Joneses. You know, Jonesy, you look and see your neighbor. Jonesy is your next door neighbor. You see them got a big 60-inch TV. You got a little 24-inch, or you got a 40-inch. Now you're going to say, well, it's time for me to get a 65-inch because you must be bigger than his. You know, and it's going on. And we're going to do double time. We're going to do overtime and extra hours so we can make that money, you know, that we don't have to take money from someplace else to get that big 80-inch television filling the whole wall in the living room. So you can bring your friends over for football game and the soccer and the basketball and all that stuff. And you say, well, I just got me my new box, you know. Yes, yeah, come on, we can see them just like they are on the wall. You know, we just boasting. We just spend all our time trying to get materialistic things that we're going to have to leave behind. And the things that we need to work on, which is our soul foundation, we are not working on it. Our soul salvation, you know, building up a foundation on the inside that God will be pleased with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this word here that we prayed already, in this word that we're talking about, I'm going to do it, but there's about four or five parables in this chapter. And we got to give you some other stuff on praying. Here he says the parable of the persistent widow. The parable of the persistent widow. In other words, this woman is a woman that she's not going to give up that easy. She wants something from her Lord, and she's going after it. We want God to do something for us, but we're not going after it. We want God to just get up and come down and say, well, okay, son, this is for you. Okay, daughter, this is for you. But we don't want to put no work into it. We don't want to put anything into it. I just plant some vegetables out there. Vegetation, and I got to go. I'm going to go buy some other stuff, cucumbers, and buy me some tomatoes and stuff, and all different stuff I'm going to put in the ground. Well, I have to get up early in the morning before the sun rises, and I got to go out there and water, and then late in the evening when the sun goes down, I got to water them. I got to make sure that the ground is moist, and all the nutrients I'm putting on the ground, the fertilizer and stuff, so to fertilize those plants, so that in the summertime, or through the summertime, even to the fall, I will have fresh fruit, fresh greens, and fresh vegetables to eat. You know, that does not have no contaminants on them. You understand? So you have to put in some work. You want a job, you got to get up and go and look for the job. The job is not coming to you. People say, oh, I'm looking for a job. They're on the computer. They might fill out the application on the computer, but then they don't want to go. They say it's too hot. They don't want to go in the sun, get on the train, get a ride, or anything. They don't want to go get the job. They say, well, I can't get a job, but you know, they sit in the living room. They sit in the bedroom. They sit in somewhere watching, in the basement, watching the TV, playing games, playing Xbox or Nintendo or something. You know, how are you going to get this stuff? How are you going to get? You want a husband, you stay in the house. You're not going outside so nobody can see you. The husband ain't coming to your house. You got to go to the house. Go to church. Somewhere the husband will find you at the church building. Do something. Go to the beach somewhere. He said, here, one day Jesus told his disciples his story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Now, Jesus is setting this stage for obedience. He's setting the stage. Always prayer. Be obedient. Always prayer and never give up. Be persistent. He said there was a judge in a certain city
He said, who never feared God nor care about people? He neither cared for God, worship God, honor God, nor even fear man. He didn't reverence God and he didn't fear man. Hallelujah. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is divided, this woman is driving me crazy. I am going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. This woman is not giving up. She wants a reprieve from the torment that she's getting from her enemies. Hallelujah. So she's going to the authority that she knows that can help her. How persistent are we are on our knees when we talking to God? If we don't see or get a response right away, we give up on praying. And ain't nothing happening for me. Why I got to keep going on there? I got calluses. I got calluses on my knee. Why should I keep going down there? And I want these calluses to heal. Ain't nothing happening for me. We give up. But the Bible said this woman was persistent. She constantly going to the judge because she wanted to get some relief from her enemies. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he renders a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? He not only gives them an answer, but leaves them with a question. Will he find faith? Will we still be standing for the truth? Will we be still seeking the truth? Something to think about. Here, let me read that from another Bible. Another Bible will show you something. Look to this, the Amplified. The same scripture. The same parable. Also, Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward, lose heart, and give up. He said in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary. And for a time, he would not. But later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and reverence her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me. She come and rail on me, or assault me, or strangle me. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not or just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night, and will he defer them and delay him help? on their behalf? I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in and faith on the earth? Jesus asks a question. You see, Jesus wants us, his elect, his chosen vessels, his ambassadors, to operate in faith. He wants us to continue prayer and not faint. Seek, not give up. Glory to God. Look, let's go back to the NLT. The next parable is the parable of the tax collector. And we're talking about honoring God with obedience. You see, obedience is the key to everything that you want. You're working on a job and your boss asks you to do something. You think it's beyond your standard. Well, I didn't come here to do that. Your boss said, well, could you just take that trash can out and put it in the dumpster? You may be a painter. You may be a carpenter. You may be an electrician. You come to pull wire and install circuits. He says, could you just take that trash can out? No, that's not what I came here to do. I came here to install the pipes. I came here to pull wire. I came here to paint. I came here to take out trash. You need a janitor. This is a disrespect. You disrespect the boss. You don't honor his request. Where do you think you're going to be? You're not going to have a job. He could lay you off for a couple of days, and then you will be hurting for the money that you need to pay your light bill and water bill and gas bill and put food on the table, and you need every penny you need every penny today to make ends meet. So if you lose 2 or 3 days' work, you're hurting. But because you're not obedient, you're not honorable, you're not honoring the authority, you lose out. No. So here, we're going to go to another text. I want to show you something in Luke chapter 5. But let's, because we're going to do all this stuff today. Listen to what he says. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Hear what he's saying. Jesus is hitting everything. He is hitting like a double-barrel shotgun. These ones that taught that they knew the law, that they were so pious. Hallelujah. Their own self-righteousness. They're scorning everybody else, looking down on everybody else. You remember the Levi and the priest. And you remember the Good Samaritan. Remember that story in Luke chapter 15? Well, these are just like them. And we have some leaders today that act the same way because they have gotten to a standard that you can't even get to them if you go to visit the house that they're supposed to be, the bishop, the apostle, the pastor, or the evangelist. They're the leader. Let's put it right there. You can't even get close to them because the people, along with themselves, have put themselves on pedestals. Pedestals so high that you can't even reach them. You say, well, they tell you, you have to make an appointment. You just can't go in and see the bishop. You can't just go and meet the apostles just like that. They tell you that. They got an arm of bears that wouldn't let you get. I could understand with the way the world is that they have a little protection for the man of God, a woman of God. But Jesus is always available. Jesus is always available. Even when he was here in the flesh, God in the flesh, he was always available. These people get a position as archbishop, chief apostle, whatever they call themselves, and they put themselves so high you can't even get close to them. They just finished ministering to you. And you want to have a word with the apostle. You want to have a word with the bishop. Two armor bears and wish the bishop through the crowd, and he goes out to his office and sits in the office. You can't even get to him. They tell straight, no, the bishop is resting. He is just relaxing after his great sermon. Suppose Jesus do that to us. He's busy going all over the world. Jesus is busy. He's going all over the world at the same time, but he still have time for us. He still have time to hear our prayer. Right now, he's over in Cuba. He's over in Texas. He's over in the Philippines. He's over in Fiji Islands. He's over in Iraq and Iran. He's over in the Caribbean. He is everywhere at the same time, but he still have time for you and I. And we so mediocre think that we so high. We don't have time to talk to the little deacon. We don't have time to talk to the janitor. Oh, you just can't come to talk to the bishop just like that. You got to get yourself clean up and all stuff before you can see the bishop. He don't talk to people like that. See what he says? He says, then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. Watch this. One was a Pharisee. Now, see, he's one of the cloth. And the other was a despised tax collector. No, people didn't like tax collectors back then. They don't like them now because they overtax you. They're doing nothing, but you doing all the work, and then they take money out of your pay before you even see it. It happened right here. You see it. We got people now dying on the streets all over this country, and more going to die as the sun get hotter this summer. And we're sending money down to the Ukraine by the billions. The Ukraine president requests weapons. Did they ask for money? Go back and check any of the requests. They didn't request money, but see, this government is, or administration right now is laundering money, but people are so blind they can't even see. They're laundering money. They're trying to see how much they can get out of the taxpayers, out of the treasury, before they get kicked out the house, before they get kicked out the White House. They all laundering money. Before the House of Representatives, the House Speaker get kicked out, they're trying to steal as much money as they can. They're laundering money. We don't understand that. And we got vets, we got homeless people dying all over this country on the streets, sleeping on the streets, lost their jobs, can't get a job, can't get a home, can't afford an apartment, but we're sending billions upon billions upon billions of our tax money to the Ukraine. They call for weapons. They already had billions and billions of dollars from us. We wouldn't take care of our own. You're talking about a revolution. That's where you should be revolting against. The money going over. Tell us to know. Tell your congressman, arrest your senator. You don't have to take up arms. You don't have to take up a weapon. Tell your senator, tell your congressman that you are not in agreement with them signing for the president to send more money to Ukraine. Take care of the border. Take care of the people here that are dying on the streets, that are sleeping on in tents in the hot weather and cold weather. Build houses, small homes or whatever that they can live in and afford to take care of. Listen to what he says. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. Let's listen to his boastful pride. For I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I am certainly not like the tax collector. Listen to him. Listen to himself. Listen to his pride. He's talking to the Most High that knows all, can see all, and can do all. Nothing is hidden from him. But he's telling God. He's laying his resume on the table. God, this is who I am. Remember, God looks at the heart. Remember, he sees the heart. When men look at the outside, they look at your fancy robe. They look at your Rolls Royce, your Lamborghini, your Ferrari. They look at your Cessna jet. They look at your 17-bedroom mansion that you live in, 4-car garage and 2 swimming pools. The world look at this stuff, but God is looking at your heart. They're looking at, well, he's a billionaire, multi-billionaire. But God said, that don't move me. I'm looking at your heart. Because your money is not going to get you in. It's your heart. The way you live, the way you treat people, the way you live, that please God, look at Noah. Noah's the only one in his family His sons and his daughter-in-laws and his wife were the only ones that were saved. 8 people out of the whole world. 8 people. You hear me? The rest thinking that they had it together. And God only saw one righteous man with his family. His family was saved because of him. One righteous man. Hallelujah. His 3 sons, his 3 daughter-in-laws, and his wife and himself. 8 people. Listen to what he says. He began to boast. He said, I fast twice a day. I give you 1/10 of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humble. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. God is looking for people that would honor him with obedience. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for a humble heart. Not people who focus on what they have done or what they are doing. I was in Africa preaching the gospel. And I let the people know I couldn't preach if the Holy Spirit didn't come. I tell them I wasn't a preacher. That the one that lives on the inside of me is the preacher. And if he don't show up on this service, you're not going to get anything. And he showed me that. He showed them that he was the preacher. Hallelujah. The next problem we're going to go to is Jesus blessed the children. Jesus blesses the children. But we're talking about honoring God with obedience. One night I was in Africa and I just got back from the crusade and we was ministering in the church building. And I had a sermon in my computer, many sermons. But this particular sermon I've studied and I've worked on it and broke it down and put it, parallel it and stuff, a different script, and had it in my computer. I said, well, this is going to be a powerful one. When I get there, they're going to know that I'm a preacher. Well, the Lord showed me that I wasn't the preacher, that he was the preacher. When I got there and got behind the podium, the computer went blank. There wasn't nothing wrong with the computer. It wasn't nothing with the battery. The computer was completely charged. I charged up the night before. In the day, I kept it charged. But that particular sermon went out the window. I couldn't see them. They wouldn't show up. Because the preacher was telling me that wasn't what he wanted. That wasn't what the people needed. And I took my hard copy, which is the Bible, and I opened the Bible. And I can't remember what it was, but whatever he gave me was just what they needed. People started to cry out to God because God was speaking to them. And that's what we need. This fella, the tax collector that we just talked about, didn't even look up to heaven while he was praying. He beat on his chest. He beat on his chest, declaring that he was a sinner. But the Pharisee was boastful. Talking about how many times a day he fasted and how he gave a tenth of all that he earned to the Lord. Like the Lord cared about his 10%. But the Lord is interested in is our obedience. When we say we're going to do something for the Lord, I don't care if the wind is blowing. I don't care if the sun is shining. You do it. You do it. Unless you have talked to the Lord and the Lord give you a release. You know, I don't go places. I don't even go to make money unless I get a release from the Lord. Well, my wife would tell me, if I don't get a relief, I don't get a release, I don't go. Even to go to the store. If I got to go to an appointment, I don't get a release, I call the people and say, look, I can't come today. Things is not in line for me to come. Even the doctor, I said, no, I can't come. I can't come to see you today because things are not lining up for me to come and see you. And there was sometimes, they said, okay, Mr. Cannon, we'll set you and your appointment. because I asked God. Here he says, one day some parents brought their little children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents for bothering him just like these people do today. Where you go and say you want to see the pastor or the bishop, that claim their armor bearers to the pastor, the bishop, or the apostle will keep you away from the bishop. Like the bishop is all that in a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. Like he's so holy. He's so pious. He's so anointed you can't even come to him. You can't see him. And the great high priest, all high priest, all ambassador, all advocate is always available to us, to anybody. Even if you was an alcoholic, a drugger, don't matter. If you call upon him, he'll answer you. That's he said so. How do I know it? He said so in the word. He said, well, loving kindness have I drawn thee. So he said, if you call upon me, I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things that you have no knowledge of. Listen to what he says. The disciples said that he scorned the people, they rebuked them from trying to see Jesus. Then Jesus called for the children and said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. The kingdom of God belongs to those who are like little children, what he's saying. The kingdom of God belongs to those who will humble themselves, have compassion, have love, obedience. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Hear what Jesus is saying. You got to become truly humble. Little kids will do anything for you. Anything. You know when they get bad? When their parents start to teach them the evil of the world. But little children will do, they will give you their heart. I was just watching a program there. And this little girl, you had never watched this program. And the little girl's on TV, Channel 4, Channel 5, somewhere. And they said the little girl, her father told her to wait outside. He was going to get something and get the car or something like that and come back. Just go inside. And the little girl was standing in front of the house. The little girl looked like she was about 3 or 4 years old. So this pedophile, you know, these people that abuse kids came by. See the little girl standing there, and they always have something to distract the kids. And the little kids are so vulnerable. He gave her and the little kids some sweets, some candy. And he said to the little kid, I'm a friend of your father, and it's hot, it's cold outside, to come and get in the car and sit with me out the corner. As they get in the car, he started the car and said, look, we're going to go ahead. Your father will meet us. We're going to go ahead. Your father will come and meet us at our home. And he took the little girl to his home. Took off all her clothes. He took off all his clothes and lay down with the little girl. He did not molest her, but he touched her. Brought her close to his body. Because the little kids they're humble and they're trustworthy. They'll trust anybody. Their hearts are open to trust. It's not till their parents start to teach them all of this stuff of the world that they become hateful. They don't bore with that stuff inside of them. Hallelujah. They're trained to hate, to dislike one another. You see two kids on Facebook, a black kid and a white kid, and they're like 4 or 5 each. And they live in the same neighborhood. They have a little boy and a little girl, a little boy and two little boys, and then they got two little girls, black and white. And the little girl and the two little girls, they dress alike. They say, this is my sister. She's my sister, and they cry when they can't be together and when they can't wear. And the white girl's mother says, and the black girl mother says, they can't just go anywhere without having the same clothes. They wear the same shoes. They wear the same dress. The bangles, everything is the same. They get the hairdo the same kind of hairdress design. And the little boys were doing the same dress the same way. But as soon as they get up a little bit and get underneath the mother and father, they teach them this hatred. That's why you see that boy, young boy can go into the supermarket and kill 10 people that he don't even know. He don't even know either one of those people, but he go in the supermarket and blow them up because that's what his father and mother teach him, to teach him hatred. That didn't come from God. God's a God of love. Let's reach another problem. And we're talking today about honoring God with obedience. If you truly love God, you'll honor him by obeying his word. That's the obedience we're talking about, obeying his commandments. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said this. The commandments must be obeyed. A lot of people are doing stuff today because we have put the commandments underneath the bed. We have put the commandments in a box. That's why you have so many fornication and so much adultery and so much murdering and all, so much disrespect for the parents today. We put the commandments. We don't teach the commandments anymore. We put them in a box. They're locked in a box because we're under grace. And they stress that. See, that's a trick from Satan, from the devil. He says, be under grace. We're no longer under the law, so you don't have to follow the commandments. It's a lie. Jesus said, I didn't come to abandon the commandments, to abolish the commandments, but to fulfill them. And then let's preach it this way. This is how they make it. It said the commandments are all fulfilling Jesus. How would they fulfill in Jesus? They don't tell you. It said they were all fulfilling Jesus, meaning you don't got to do them anymore because you're under grace. Jesus tells you straight up, you should not kill. He told you. He said you should not commit adultery. He said you should honor the mother and the father. He said you should love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what he said. He's quoting the commandments. He gave the book to Moses. Moses didn't give the book to him. So he's quoting the book because that's what they believe in. And he quoted the book back to them. He said, I should honor the father and mother that they did maybe love in the land. He said, you should not commit adultery. Even if you look on a woman in lust, he said, you already committed adultery. They don't want to do this stuff. And you're wondering why all these murders are happening. Nobody talk. The rich man, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, Luke chapter 18, verse 18. Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Asked Jesus a very profound question. Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, Jesus replied, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your mother and your father. The man replied, I have obeyed all these commandments since I was young. When Jesus heard his answer, he said, still one thing you haven't done. Jesus going to the thing that really moves his heart. Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. See, we have put all of our focus on the stuff that we accumulate in this earthly realm. But we will put focus on our soul salvation. We are trying to keep our Rolex watch shining. Or diamonds glittering. Or we'll have to, couldn't have the suit with a hole in the pants. Or the dress with a hole from the mouth that bit it. We got to have something brand new. Something that is up to date, up to style. Because we are dressing to impress. Jesus said, it's the heart that I'm looking for. Not the stuff. This young man was so sad because he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? He replied, what is impossible for people is possible for God. Peter said, we have left our homes to follow you. Yes, Jesus replied. And I assure you that everyone who has given up house or wife or brothers or sisters or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will be repaid many times over in this life. I will have eternal life in the world to come. And see, when we make a decision to truly follow Jesus, to submit and commit to Christ Jesus, not only does we are blessed in this city, in this time, but we'll be even blessed, or more blessed, if there's such a thing, we'll be even more blessed in eternity. Because we're not living here just to live. We're living to live again. This is the whole key. We're not focusing on the big car or the big house or the microcar because we know we brought nothing into this world. And surely we will take nothing out of this world. One man paid for a spot in the graveyard. He had one of these big Chevrolets or Buick cars. And it was so loud. You know how the cars back then in the 70s and the early, late 60s, it was long and big and round and funny looking, but they're very expensive now. If you own one of those antique cars, and they didn't cost much money. You could purchase a nice car for $2,000. I mean, a very, very nice car. You had $2,500, you had the top of the line car. And this man was an African American man, but being he was sick, he purchased this land, and the plot was big enough for four or five holes to be digging the earth, graves. But he purchased his land enough that his whole car would go down in this ground. And he made a will that when he crossed over or died, he would be dressed in this special black suit with black shoes, black hat. He had this nice soft hat. He would all be clad down with his favorite watch and all this stuff on, then his favorite chains and rings, and that he would be placed behind his seat, behind the driver's seat, and they would let him down into this great hole with his car. And I saw this thing on the internet many years. It comes wrong every so often. It comes around. And I said, where he going to drive and go? To me, it was comical. Because I could picture this man on his bed thinking that really when he got his car, he could be able to drive down there and drive and go places. You know, we not taking nothing out of here. Even if they put it in the hole with you, you're going to leave it. You're going to decay in that seat there. You're not going nowhere with that stuff. We ought to be working, doing all that we can, following the instruction of God, obeying God, that he can just to hear the word, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Enter into my peace. Enter into my joy. Everything. Here's your robe. Here's your shoes. Here's your crown of righteousness prepared for you. This is what we want to live for. Lord, I thank you for taking care of me, you know, making sure I have food on the table for my family, making sure I have more than enough that I can bless somebody from time to time. But Lord, most of all, I thank you for saving my soul and showing me how to live a life that pleases you. I know, Lord, even like the minister said yesterday, I know I don't always get everything right, Lord. I know for sure, Lord. I try hard to get everything right, but I don't get everything right every single day. Every day I don't cross every T. Every day I don't dot every I. But I'm trying to cross a little bit more than I did yesterday and dot a little bit more than I dotted yesterday. This is my cry. Jesus again predicts his death. Listen, this one here, then we can go to the blind beggar, and then we'll go to Luke chapter 5. Listen. Jesus, I'm talking about honoring God with obedience. Jesus is showing them a lot of different scenarios of obeying him and being with him, to be with him. Jesus now talking to the 12 disciples. Taking the 12 disciples aside, Jesus said, listen, we are going up to Jerusalem. Verse 31. Where all the predictions of the prophets concerning the Son of Man will come true. Jesus said, they've been predicting this stuff about me. But I just want you to know that these things that they've been predicting, they're going to come to pass. I want you to know, so I'm preparing your hearts right now. He will be handed over to the Romans, and he will be mocked, treated shamefully, and spit upon. They will flog him with a whip and kill him. But on the third day, he will rise again. But they didn't understand any of this because he's speaking in a parable. Jesus don't want to put them in a mindset of depression, saying that, look, this is what they're going to do to me. He's talking like talking to them as though he's speaking about somebody else. Understand me? He's speaking a parable, but he's speaking, he is the head of the parable. He's the central focal point of the parable. So they really don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't understand any of this. The significance of his words was hidden from them, and they failed to grasp what he was talking about. Jesus, he's a blind beggar. As Jesus approached Jerusalem, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. Now, at this point, when the blind man heard that it was Jesus, the Nazarene, he got excited, and his blind man became alive, even more alive. Listen to me. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He knew. He heard of this Jesus. So he began to get excited. Jesus had caused the crippled to walk, the dumb to talk, the deaf to hear. He had raised the dead, and he'd opened blind eyes before. This blind man wanted his eyes to be opened. He asked him to have mercy. But because the people in front yelled to him, but he only shouted louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. You can't let people hinder you from going to Jesus. You can't let people distract you, delay you from reaching out to Jesus. Remember the woman with the issue of blood. She didn't allow them to stop her either. She pressed on through the crowd. In spite of, she went down to the ground on her all fours, crawling to touch Jesus. Because she knew if she touched him, she would be healed. She would be made ever with hope. Excuse me. Jesus wants to make us ever with hope. He wants to supply all our needs according to riches and glory. But we're going to everybody else first before we go to Jesus. We don't trust him enough. We don't depend on him enough to see the manifestation of the blessings that he already prepared for us. Do you hear me today? Listen to me. I'm talking to you today. I studied this yesterday evening, and I studied last night. I went over it and went over to get what the Holy Spirit was saying. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you, Lord? Lord, he replied, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Instantly, not the next day, not the next hour, the Bible says that instantly You see, because this man wanted something from Jesus. And he was persistent. Remember we talked about that beginning, talking about persistency. The man was persistent in trying to get Jesus to notice him. He could hear the sound of the people, and he could hear the voice of Jesus, but he didn't know where he was. He couldn't see him. All he was calling for Jesus to do, have mercy on him. And when Jesus saw him, they brought him to Jesus. Jesus asked him a question, what do you want me to do for you? And he replied, I want to see. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Jesus is very candid. Your faith has already touched my heart. Your faith has already touched my emotions. Your faith has already touched the love that I have for mankind. He said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And instantly the man could see. And he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it, praise God too. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's move backward from chapter 18 to chapter 11. I want to give you something today that you can hold on to when you trust the Lord. Here in chapter 11, Jesus is teaching about prayer. He's teaching about prayer. But we're going to start at verse 5. Then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight, wanting to borrow 3 loaves of bread. You say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he calls out from his bedroom, don't bother me. The door is locked for the night. And my family and I are all in bed. I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he wouldn't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up and give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. See, the key is that never give up. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. We got to continue to be steadfast in seeking God. Jesus said, if you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall open unto you. Hallelujah. We got to seek, we got to ask, and we got to knock. Hallelujah. But we got to be persistent. We can't say, I knock today, I'm not going to knock tomorrow. Oh, I prayed for this yesterday. You know, we say once you pray and believe, you don't have to pray again. And that's good too. But you can refresh your prayer. What is this? Not for God to hear. It's not for God to hear. It's for you to know that your prayer is being answered. Because when you pray the first time, God heard you pray the first time. I want you to know that. He's not deaf. He don't wear earplugs. He heard you the first time. But sometimes after you pray the first time, the enemy will come and try to mess with your thoughts. And so you think God going to do something for you? You think he answering you? He got so many people to take care of. Why you think you're, no. Just build up your confidence by praying. Persistent prayer will bring manifestations of what you're seeking. This man is persistent. His friend don't want to get up out of bed. But because that he is constantly praying, Jesus says, his friend will get up out of the bed and give him what he needs to assist his visitor. Listen. So I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened unto you. For Everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you simple people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is laying this thing right down for them to understand. Listen, let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Romans 12 and verse 12. This is the word of God. I tell you the truth. These scriptures that I'm going to give you now, I got this morning. Romans 12 and verse 12. I just got a little bit more to give you, and we're going to pray and open the line. Romans 12 and verse 12. And this is what he says. Paul says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, in all times. You got to rejoice in hope. Hope in what? Hope in Christ Jesus. Hope in the Lord. Patient in tribulation, while you're going through stuff, while you're dealing with stuff. Be patient. Listen what he says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6. This is the book of the armor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Get his quick.
Hallelujah. Here. Amen.
Bring him up. Bring him up quick. Thank you, Brother Deacon. This is what the Lord says. We got to honor God, honor him, and obey him. This is how you know that you honor him. This is what he says in Ephesians 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, you're not just praying for yourself. You're praying for all the saints. Those of the household of faith and those that are outside the household of faith. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. We don't want to pray. We don't want to go after the things of God. We want the things of God, but we don't want to go after the things. We want them to just happen for us. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. He said, continue in prayer and walk in the same with thanksgiving. With all, verse 3, praying also for us, for the preachers, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. God will open doors for us to get an opportunity to preach the gospel, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. See, we are in bonds. We are going through stuff. People are coming against us because of what we are preaching and teaching. They're burning Christians alive in Nigeria. You saw the stuff. It's all over Facebook now. I was sharing it because I saw it on YouTube, and then I saw it on Facebook. Now it's on Facebook. The preachers are talking about, one man was saying last night, how can people be so wicked? Yes, there are a lot of wicked people. They got people that believe in their religion, that their religion is so important. And they say they're serving a God of mercy and grace. And they got to kill for God. You don't have to kill for God. What you need to do is live for God. You and I, we need to live for God. Live that people will see the light in us, the light of God. The light represents love, mercy, compassion, forgiveness, long-suffering, patience. This is what the light of God represents. Kindness, mercy, and grace. When we say we love God, but we don't have no mercy. We don't extend mercy. We don't have compassion for other people. Hear what I'm saying. We, not you, we. We say we love the Lord so much, and somebody do something to us or say something to us, and all of a sudden we flip out and we become like an incredible Hulk. We become mad, upset. Go to Revelation chapter 10, chapter 6. Right, let's go back to Colossians chapter 4 and 4. It says, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom, covered, verse 5. Towards them that are without, redeeming the time. See what he said? He says, walk in wisdom. How are you walking? What is your ministry saying? Remember, your ministry is your lifestyle. It's not when you go down to the church building and get to preach on the gospel at the service. It's not when you get to read the scripture. It's not when you get to preach for somebody. Your lifestyle is your ministry. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works. You're preaching. You're a living Bible where you're walking. If you are saved and sanctified, you are the Bible that people are looking at. But as soon as somebody says, no, you want to hurt them. You want to take them out. You want to cuss them out. Had people used to come on this line and say, I'm going to give her a piece of my mind. She always messing me. I might have talking to me anyway. They want to talk to me, but I'm going to give them peace of mind. Well, that's why you got so many loony Christians. They're loony. Because every time somebody says something that don't like, they give them a piece of their mind. I ain't giving nobody a piece of my mind. It took me too long to get this mind together. It took me a long time to get this mind together. Hallelujah. Well, not me, but God to get it together because I was rebellious. But God put this man together. Look what the John is saying. And I had one verse here, but I'm going to give you about two or three verses here. And look at what it says. Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and revenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little while, a little season or a little while, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Do you hear what God's saying? So you think that you're just going to run through this thing skipping hopscotch? No, he says these are the ones that are on the stairs in heaven. These are the ones that have been martyred for the gospel. And they begin to call to God, the Lord Jesus, asking him how long before he revenged their blood. And Jesus told them they have to be patient. Wait. They were given a robe. And another place that was also given a crown. A crown of righteousness. But he told them that their fellow servants and brethren, believers, will be murdered. Murder will be killed for the gospel. It has to be fulfilled. So it's a possibility that you might be killed, I might be killed, we may be killed. Who knows? For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of truth. Are you ready to die for the gospel? Are you willing to die for the gospel? Listen to what he says. This is the word of God. I did what the Lord said to do. I give you what he said to give to you. Jesus wants us to know that he's going to take care of us. But rather than taking care of us just as he suffer, we have to suffer. And we will suffer. People are going to say things about you. About us, and people are going to do things to us. It's going to get worse, people. Look at the four people in Nigeria that just was burned alive. You think somebody's talking and saying that I'm all this and all that, or you all this is something to worry about? People are being burned alive for the gospel in Nigeria. People's hands are cut off. Their tongue are split so they can't talk in Nigeria. In Zimbabwe, in the Congo, in Ghana, Look at the stuff that's going on in Nairobi, in Kigali. And we thinking that we sitting back here and say, oh, well, they're saying this. Man, you know these people that you see over here that running the countries? All of these people that are indulging in homosexuals, they're going to come against you and me. Even though we're preaching love, we're not preaching against them. We're preaching against sin, S-I-N. And they're going to come against us because we are a threat to their lifestyle. Hallelujah. You got to be ready. If you preach against sin, you don't got to call their name out and say that they this and this. You preach against sin, they're going to see you talking against them. And they're going to come against you. Believe you, as sure as my name is David, they're going to come against you. They're going to come against us. Are you ready? Jesus said he's going to fight for you. I read it this morning. He said he's going to fight for you. Matter of fact, he died so you can live, so I can live, so we can live. You think he's still going to fight for us? He's fighting for us right now. Right now. He's standing against all of them demons that's trying to stop this ministry from going forward. He's standing up for us. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that came forth this morning. Lord, you gave to us. We got to keep on pushing. We got to keep on pushing. You hear what I'm saying? We got to keep on pushing. This is what's going to make the difference. You know, sometimes God will test you to see how long would you stay. How long would you stay? Some people can't stay long. How long would you stay on the path to righteousness? Are you willing to stay? I'm willing to stay. Because I stayed all night. I stayed out in the rain. I stayed out in the cold. I went through the hot, hot sun. I refused to put gas in my car because I didn't want to break down the money that I had to get my drugs. And I drove the car out to Southeast Washington, D.C. And I was hoping that when I get the drugs, I would still be able to get back to my house or to the place that I was going to get high. And I stood a chance of breaking down, running out of gas on the highway and being stopped by the police or checked by the police and be what we call dirty, having the drugs on me and go to jail. And I was willing to do that to get high. How much more am I willing to do to declare the word of God, the truth, to put it in the atmosphere? How much more am I willing to do? But I'm ready to do whatever I got to do to declare the truth. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for today, for the word. And Lord, we thank you for those we saw. Prophetess Kirstie was on with us for a while. She's on her job. And Minister Jones is with us. And Mother Grant got on for a little while. We just thank God for us, you all that come on today with us and hear the word. We're going to come on every day till somebody's come to help us. People are doing work. The apostles and them, they're working on the house, trying to get the house right because the boy really messed up the house. But we know that they'll come when they get a chance. We pray for Apostle Millie, she'll come out. But we'll be here regardless. If nobody come, we still going to come because we have made that contract with the Lord. Covenant that we made with the Lord in 2010 that we would, as long as he gave me breath, I would get something and come on and put it on the atmosphere, on the airways for somebody to hear. People may not want it here in America because it's free to them. But people in different countries are dying for the word of God, dying to hear it. They're walking for miles upon miles and their feet are cracked from the clay dirt and the blacktop that they walk on without shoes. I see people in Africa, when I was in Nairobi, some of the people had shoes that were made from car tires, motor car tires. You hear what I'm saying? The car, they put the feet on the tire, and the man would just mark it out, and he had these very sharp shoemaker's
knives, and he would just cut the circle, mark it out with a marker or chalk, and he would cut out their feet and make them sandals that they pay a dollar for, which is a day's pay for some of the people in Nairobi. They were paid that dollar to have those shoes so they don't have to walk on the hot clay dirt. And I tell you, that dirt is hot. Glory to God. But they walk for miles upon miles to hear the gospel. And we can't even bear to hear the gospel, to spend time listening to the word of God. We get busy. Busy. We're busy. We got to go here. We got to go there. We can only spend 30 minutes or 40 minutes or less than that hearing the word because I'm busy. But there's a time coming, and as sure as my name is David Cannon, I say that we're going to cry out, want to hear the gospel, but you're not going to be able to hear it. They're going to shut you down. You're going to want to cry out for help. Nobody going to hear. Listen to me, I'm telling you. This is all Bible. This is all Bible. He said they're going to run to the rocks for shelter, and the rocks are not going to be able to hide them. They're going to run to the ocean deep. can't hide in the ocean. Can't hide. This is gospel. But we pray today those that heard the word and going to hear the word, that they would take the word and run with the word. This word is true. I tell you that I come alive, Bishop, Deacon, Minister Jones, I come alive. When I open my mouth with that gospel, man, my spirit man come alive. I tell you, it is true. I'm telling you, the Bible talks about that word will make you alive. It quickens you, the word of God. It quickens you.
Amen.
Once you get that word, you open your mouth and start talking that word, it quickens your spirit, man.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is sure have an oil that comes from heaven with that, on that word of God. Glory to God. That's why I love it. You know, I don't preach to be seen or heard. I preach that to get that word on there, teach it and preach it, so that somebody out there that can't get, they don't have to walk so far, and some of them got the wind up radios. I seen a man in Africa, they put that radio on the table. I put the phone on a little rickety table, and I'm not belittling the table, because I grew up with stuff like that. I slept on the floor. We didn't have that much. We didn't have much. My mama had five of us. She had eight children and three died at childbirth. And she raised the five by herself. You know, and we had a little rickety table too. But we were happy. We used to sleep on the floor. Some of us sleep on the floor. Some of us sleep on grass beds. That's why I don't operate with pride. You know, I operate with mercy and grace and compassion. And I love the people of God. You know, a lot of people say, you got this, you got that. Man, look. You drive a Cadillac Escalade. That's God's car. That's not mine. That's God's car. God's car. Because God gave me when I didn't have a job. He gave that car to me when I didn't have a job. Ain't nobody in the church paid for that car. I ain't got a cent, one penny from the church for that car. God made a way. God made a way. And it's completely paid for. Completely paid for. Believe me, tell you, not one penny from a church went in that car. God get that car to us when we ain't even had a job. And they said we couldn't get it. They said we couldn't get it. But you know what God said? God cut the price half in half when we went to purchase it so that we would be able to afford it. God did it. Don't tell me he wouldn't do the impossible. If you do what God said do, God will do for you what only God can do. Just do what he says. That's all he needs you to do. Get up. Go to prayer. If you got to read the scripture, if you got to pray, go and pray. If he call you to read, read. Make time to read. If he call you to preach, make time to preach. And watch, see what God do for you. God will make tough, crooked things straight for you. He'll make rough things plain for you. God will do the impossible for us if we do what God said. If we don't become too busy to do what God wants done. Because you know the world has a way of distracting us. I'm just telling you the truth. The world has a way of distracting us. Hallelujah. Give you more work than you need.
You say, well, if I just do this, I'm going to get this money. If I, no.
I have to tell him sometime, man. Lord knows, I said, Logan, sometime I do some work. I'm doing some work, and I tell a customer, I said, look, I ain't coming tomorrow. I said, I got some things I got to do. So I get the work to a certain way where the customer will be comfortable because I took their money. I took a down payment. But I do so much that they'll be comfortable. This is the way he doing a lot. He done a lot. So if he don't come for a day or two, I'm comfortable with that. I do that because I have to get some time to put the word in. And even if I got another preacher preaching, I'm still on the line. I don't say, well, they're taking care of the line so I can go to. No, I still got to be on the line because I have to hear the word of God for me. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for speaking to us loud and clear to us today. Lord, for touching our hearts with your finger of love today. Lord, you allow us to know that all you are seeking from us is obedience. That's all you want from us, Lord. And you show us in the word that when we trust you and depend on you, Lord, that you show us the thing that you would do for us. Father, all you want us to do is have faith in you. And all that you have already said, follow the GPS that you have left for us, the basic instructions before leaving earth. That's the Bible. That's all you want us to do. Lord, I pray today for someone that don't know Christ today. They may be in Africa. They may be in India. They may be in Iraq or Iran. They may be in Pakistan. They may be in Afghanistan. They may be in Italy. They may be in France, Germany. They may be in Canada. They may be in the United States of America. They may be in the Fiji Islands. Yes, they may be in Ukraine. They may be in Russia. They may be in Finland. They may be in Amsterdam. They may be in some country somewhere in the Caribbean, Europe anyway, or Canada. Maybe right here in my neighborhood, Lord, that they heard this on the Blog Talk Radio as they're surfing the web. And something, Lord, you prick their hearts by your spirit. Because you said no one can come except you draw them. When they hear the word of God is alive. The Bible says the letter killeth, but the word, the spirit gives life. And Lord, we pray today that the spirit be on this word as it's gone forth. And you have already saturated the atmosphere with your glorious presence to carry this word under the wings of love today. Somebody that don't know Jesus today, if you don't know him, just ask the Lord right now. You know, we heard the scriptures. There's a lot in the scriptures about salvation. You heard the scriptures today. The Bible says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Also say that God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is all Bible. And then the Bible said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And we're seeing this right now. You're looking at the news. You're appalled at the stuff that is going on right now. You're appalled at the stuff that are going on. That we have people dying. The man was saying last night, the congressman, senator from Texas was saying last night that they, if you come to Texas, if you go over to the border site and you the gateway to Texas, you see all of these dead people in the streets, in the bush, dead, stinking. And the man said, don't call the one governor said, don't call him because it costs $22,000 to bury these people. And they rather let the dead people just stay in the street that the vultures, and then in the bush that the vultures will come and eat them, them wild birds will come and eat the flesh, like the book of Revelation says. This is the book that's unfolding, people. Where the birds going to come and eat your flesh in the streets. Glory to God. But they send billions of dollars to Ukraine before we close our borders. All these other countries had borders that are protected with soldiers. Soldiers standing up there at a gate. You can't cross over. We're the only country that has a wide open border for everybody to come in. And we have our own people dying in the streets. We got people in California, homeless people dying in the streets for food. They have to defecate in a little bucket and throw the bucket on the side of the road, stinking up the place. And we send them this money, man, it's really grieved my heart. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can know him right now. It's okay. You can know him right now. And all you need to do is say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin today. According to Acts 2 and 38, said that we must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you call upon his name in repentance, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, you can't lose. From the beginning, you are given gifts. Even receiving salvation is a gift. So you can't lose. All you need to do is let go of the past. That's what repentance means. Letting go of your past. Letting go of the things that held you in bondage. And receiving the things that would set you free. Receiving the gift of love, the love that Jesus shed at Calvary. Because it wasn't the nails. It wasn't the crown of thorns. It wasn't the spear that pierced his side and pierced his lungs. It was the love that he had for you and I that kept him on the cross. He could have come down at any time. He could have come down from the cross at any time and fought against the soldiers. He could have called a legion of angels and they would have stand up for him and fought for him. But he chose to stand on the cross and bear our sins, our transgressions, our iniquities in his immortal body. He did this for you and I. Even while you were yet sinning. The Bible said while we were yet sinning, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinning. That means that when I was in the crack house, when I was in the whorehouse, when I was lying and cheating and stealing and whatever I was doing, cussing, getting drunk, Christ was bearing all of my sins in his immortal body. Even though he knew no sin, he bare our sins. He died for us. Today, you have the opportunity. You have the opportunity to repay Christ, the Lord, the God of all salvation, by welcoming him in your heart, by allowing him to enter your heart. You might say, well, how can I do that? By surrendering. You can welcome him in your heart by surrendering to him, just allowing him to enter in. He wants to enter in, but he's not going to force himself in. He wants to come in by invitation. By invitation. Invite him to come in your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of the world system right now. And I invite you, I'm inviting you to come in and take up your rightful position as Lord, as Savior, as soon coming King in my heart. Take this position up now, Lord, and do for me what no one else can do. Set me free by washing me in your blood. I denounce Satan and all of his agents and the world system. I believe, Jesus, that you died so I could live. And today, I'm doing this freely of my own consent. No one is forcing me to submit to you or commit to you. I need you to save my life and give me the right to the tree of life. Jesus, I receive you now in my heart as my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my soon coming King. If you just said that and you believe what you spoke with your mouth, you have just received the gift of salvation. Now what you need to do is start studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Gospel of Acts so you have an understanding of what the preachers are preaching about every time you hear them preaching. You'll have an understanding why they're preaching, why they're saying what they're saying. And you can now follow along with them. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, tell them that you received the gift of salvation and you're studying the Word of God, but you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And but before you get baptized, call up your friends, your family, your co-workers. Call them up. Even your enemies. Tell them, look, you know what? I give my life to Christ Jesus. I am saved. And I'm getting baptized, and I want to really invite you. I'd appreciate if you would come to my baptism. Tell them there. Invite them to come to the baptism. This is the greatest time of your life. When you get baptized, I tell you, I only tell you about it, but you got to experience it for yourself. Because I tell you, when I got baptized, Lord Jesus knows, it was amazing. I went down that water, they call it the liquid grave, and I took off. When I come about that water, man, it was something happened to me. I took off. I started running, and I was crying, and I was thanking God and praising God. And the lady that baptized me, Elder Izzy, she wrote many books about Jesus. And I ran off, and I was crying. She said, leave him alone. The Holy Ghost is touching him. But I was crying, and I was crying, laughing and crying at the same time. This is what the Holy Ghost will do to you. He give you joy, and he'll make you give you tears of joy. You know, I wasn't crying because there was no pain. I was so happy because I didn't believe that he could love me that much. And he did. And he does. He does. He loved me that much to give his life for me. And he did the same for you. As you receive, now find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and get yourself involved. Get yourself involved in ministry. I always tell you all how I used to clean the bathrooms and I run the vacuum. And then had nobody had to tell me. I said, Pastor, I'm gonna clean the church today. I'm gonna take out the trash. I'm gonna pick up the cigarette butts from around the church building. I did all that stuff. Then nobody had to assign me to nothing. I make assignments for myself because I wanted to work for God. You know, I went on looking for assignments, things to do around the church. And God blessed me for it. The next thing I know, they was telling me they had my name on the roster to become a minister, an elder. Next thing I know, they had me on another roster to become a youth pastor. You understand? And they keep growing all the time. The more you work for God, the more you do for God, the more God, if God's not going to allow you to outdo him. The more you do for God, the more God will do for you, you know? Mother Grant was here with us, but she gone. And she stayed busy. But we pray God that she be safe while she's riding out there. So we're going to open the line for anyone that wants to come on in. Thank God for those that received the gift of salvation. And anyone that wants to respond. We know there's a lot of people come on the line every day. There's people come on the line, but nobody respond. Only Minister Jones respond. All the other people on the line just sit there looking dormant. But we thank God for your presence, though. We're not mad at you because we know once you hear the Word of God is going to do what only the Word of God can do. Believe me. I know God does to me. You know, when you hear it, if you don't respond, the Word of God is going to work with you. I'm telling you because it's a double-edged sword. It's like a sickle. It'll cut you when you don't even looking for the cut because I know the Word is good. Anyway, the line is open. The line is open.
Well, Apostle Calendar, I enjoyed the word. I'm not trying to outdo, but I just love the word of God. It was good today about praying. Now, you're so right, man. You know, Jesus said, man should always pray and not faint. And we never been in an hour of prayer. We sure need a whole lot of it now. A lot of praying. Praying helps not only keep you in the place with God, and they keep you clean with God. Prayer give you ability to be able to pray for others. And the more you pray, the more God can speak to you and not only show you yourself, but help you be concerned about others and let you hear the cry of others. And so I love what you were talking about when it comes down to praying, and it's important. You should always pray. But you never know, you got to pray for our children, pray for the things that are going on in this country and around the world. There's so much to pray for. So prayer should always be thing that we do every day, even throughout the day. Sometimes you have to wait till you get on a prayer line to pray. You can pray while you're driving, praying while you're walking. You know, praying is always time to pray. Because, you know, you just never know what's going to be coming up the road. You always want to keep yourself concentrated before God. And it's good to keep your prayer hard. So, yeah, I enjoyed everything you said. And just the word was good to my soul. And just looking at, you know, people, you know, the more I think about when you were talking earlier about praying and waiting on God, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. And she did everything she could do to try to get in contact with the Lord. You know, she did all she could do to try to get in contact with the Lord. And she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, and I'd be made whole. And that woman's issue of blood, she didn't give up. She knew she did. She ain't got it. She ain't gonna look in his face. And she just took his garment, her faith, or made her whole. And I think that's a form of praying, her faith and praying it. Then, Lord, I know I can't get to you because you got a crowd around you. But if I could just touch it, I know that's enough. And he took them by her doing that. Her faith made her whole. She pulled virtue from Jesus Christ. And so that is, you know, prayer is a powerful thing. And that's what the enemy wants to stop us from doing, praying. I believe if we didn't pray, man, we'd be in trouble. Prayer, I think that's what's keeping us in this hour of, you know, people, we pray for each other. We got to pray for each other. We got to always pray for each other. And that's what's keeping us in this hour, you know. And that's our battlefield is praying, being in prayer, you know, praying and standing before God, praying for others, praying for the world, praying for our children, praying for ourselves. Praying for our neighbors, praying for the, you know, this for injustice and things that are happening. Just praying, you know, just trusting God. Knowing he's able to do a seat above all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's God's power. That's what keeps us, man. That's what, without his power, we can't do nothing. You know, and we really have to pray, you know, ask God to help us get close to him that we can walk in his statue and do his will. And, you know, just do what he called us to do, you know, that we can be all that God wants us to be and be fully in God and fear his will, that we'll be, you know, what God has called us to be. But I just thank God for the opportunity and every chance I get to come on here to hear the word of God. I just like to comment because I just love the word. I love the word. I love the, you know, the opportunity to be able to get on here and speak on behalf of the word of God, because I stand for the word. I love the word of God myself, but it helped me, man. I'm telling you, I need it. I need y'all. I don't know about you, y'all, but I need it. I need it every day. I need it, man. I need that word to help me keep going, help me to tell God thank you. I was, you know, before I got on the prayer line, the radio, I was just thinking about how good God been to me, man. You know, if it weren't for the mercy of God, man, what would I be? And I know y'all don't know how y'all feel, but I know sometimes you just sit back and think about how good Jesus has been to us all, man, we'll be in trouble. And I just thank God for his mercy over my life. You know, just thank God for everything he has done, for allowing me to be able to come on the radio station and see the word of God while I'm driving on the road. And then being able to hear truth and standard and holiness through the men and women of God on this prayer line. And I just thank God, man. I thank you for saving me, giving me a chance. I could have been lost. I could have been, you know, lost in all my own. But I just thank God, you know, and I just thank God for him talking about prayer. We have to pray because, like you were saying earlier, man, you got homeless people all over the United States, man. I done traveled almost the whole United States, man, in every major city I go in, you see homeless people everywhere. It makes you cry. You got people living up on the bridges, living in tents. And I mean, it's like, man, you know, why, you know, we doing all this, you know, like he was saying, sitting there saying all this money won't feed the poor. You know, you got so many poor people. Then they got some cities, they won't even allow the church to feed the poor anymore. You got to have a permit and all that. And some of them won't allow you to do it. It's just a great evil going on. God, he said in his word, seducers are men going to wax worse and worse. And that's what you see going on. Man don't have no remorse. They don't care about God. They don't want you to pray. They want to get rid of the Bible. I'm telling you, man, people get evil, wicked, and the worst man get, the closer we should get God. We should be so close to God, he'll be in our shadow. That's how close I want to get. I want to get so close to God when I sweat Jesus. I want to get so close to God, if you see me far away, you can see him, it's almost like you'll see him, you can't see me. I'm telling you, man, it's time to really get close to God and search yourself, get rid of everything that will separate us from the love of God. The Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Sometimes we can be ourselves a thing that will separate us, and it's our job, you know, to make sure that we get right with God. Do whatever you can to get right with God. Pray for each other. Keep praying. You don't have to give up with praying. You don't have to sound like somebody else to pray. God accepts, you know, your heart. You know, the Bible says, a broken and contrite heart, he won't despise. And, you know, so you don't have to sound like somebody else. God hears you from your heart. You come to God sincere and earnest, and you're not trying to be, thank you, God, more sincere, God, and you humble yourself, God will hear you. He loves to hear from us. That's why he gave us, that's why I always say, he gave us an open door policy. They come to him. It's a blessing that the Heavenly Father is not like man, where you got to have security guards and make an appointment. You can just come to him with a repentant heart. And he'll hear you. Then sometimes we think he'll hear, he'll show us. I heard what you said. And he'll come back and show you, you know, through things that are going on in your life that I heard what you said. And you'll see, many of us know that God has answered prayer. And we think we didn't think, man, God must have didn't hear me. And then God come and show you and say, yeah, I heard you. You know, so it takes time, you know. So we got to continue praying that we can cast out all the cares of this world. The enemy is fighting. You got the cult and these people that worship Satan. They have altars. They pray to Satan. And so the church should always pray. We should not stop praying. You know, I was saying a while back, I was telling somebody, I don't know if I think it was a prophetess, I was telling her, you know, just not be out here, you got Muslim guys, and I'm not trying to speak against anyone religion. They have a right, you know, that's between them and God. But these people get in the middle or at truck stops and take a rug out and take the Holy Quran and pray. And don't care who watching them, don't care who they are, they would get out and pray and honor God. Even when I went to a roadmaster school to get my class A, I had my class B first. Man, I had a guy in my class in my room that we had to share a room like in a dorm. And the guy would get certain days he wouldn't watch no TV. And this guy, it's like God was taking me to school to show me how dedicated these people are. And this guy would take his rug and his Quran Bible and sit there and pray for hours. And he would take him a break, take him a walk, and come right back. He would do that the whole day. I said, Lord, why the church not like that? Why we not like that? Why we don't pray like that? And that's the thing that the church is missing. That's where our power is in prayer. And that's what the enemy won't want us to do. Just imagine. If we prayed and we came together like they did on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, man, the devil wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't know what he'd have to go back and strategize. So that's why, you know, we got to continue praying even when we're going through. Sometimes you don't feel like praying. You got to pray. Sometimes when you pray, you never know who might need it. And, you know, and so you just have to pray that God give us the power and the strategy to be able to go overcome the things that are coming and get full of God, because like the man of God said, man, you know, after a while our persecution is coming. You know, you got these world leaders, they planning to come after the church, you know, and then someone's going to get killed, you know, for believing in the gospel. That's true, but you shouldn't feel that. You shouldn't feel death. You should feel God. Because, I mean, if they can get rid of this body, but, I mean, they can't do nothing with the soul. All souls belong to God. So I just thank God for the word. I hope I said something. I hope I didn't get off topic, but I just thank God for the word. And you be encouraged, Apostle Calvin, and all the men and women of God, how I love y'all. God, continue praying that we do the will of God in this hour, that we don't run out of time, because I know, like the Bible says, and I think the apostle already said, if they coming, we ain't going to be able to work. So they're trying to shut us down. They don't want us. In some place, you can't even say the name of Jesus. In California, they don't outlaw the Bible. They don't even want you to carry a King James Bible no more. They don't talk all the Bibles off the shelf. And then now they're trying to make petition now to keep us from preaching. After a while, preachers going to have to end up either shutting their church down, let them go along with this New World movement, and they ain't going to be able to preach the whole gospel, because you're going to get locked up, because they're going to call it hate speech. You know what I'm saying? But speaking against telling people the truth and the love of God, like the man of God said earlier, is the truth. Even when it hurts, God loves us enough. It's just like a father. You know, and everybody, you know, had a father or mother. When they love you and they will chastise you, they will tell you, I'm not, I know this might hurt you, but I'm only doing this to help you, and I love you. That's how the Heavenly Father, he tell us stuff, and see people that's in the flesh don't understand the love of God. And that's what's wrong in America. People don't really know the love of God, because they think God is, like, and I'm not saying it many times on this radio, people think God is like this Santa Claus, or this sugar daddy, or somebody that do what you want to do, and you don't get no punishment. God is a God, also a God of love, and he's a God of chastisement. And he's just for everything that he do. You know, and the man don't think that God for to judge them for what they do, but it's just sad when, you know, man can judge you when you go to court when you do wrong on the earth, but then God can't judge you when you do eternal and you do evil stuff in your body. And it's just sad the way man thinks. So God just, you know, yeah, people don't know the love of God. God loves us enough. It's the mercy of God when you have the apostle calendar of many men and women of God that God used to bring truth to you so you can get saved and get it right. That's what you call the love of God, because God can allow the enemy to take your mind, like many people have lost their mind, and you won't have that opportunity. You got many people that have died and gone to hell because they didn't have the opportunity that we have. So it's always a pleasure and an opportunity, even when you see a track on the ground, or you ride on a highway and you see that billboard and it says something about God's word, that's the mercy of God. That's the mercy of God. And I'm telling you, and people don't know the love of God, you know, they think the love of God is just given. God loves us enough that he'll correct you, because he had a requirement. God was not going to tell you to fit us how we feel. So that's the love of God, and you just got to know it. And it's not hard. It's easy to love God. What makes it hard for us? Because your flesh don't want to love. But we can do all things. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That means you can do anything that God tells you to do. It's not too hard for God. You can live right. You can live holy. And just trust him and continue praying. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you so much, Minister Jones. What a powerful, powerful response. Yeah, that was a mini sermon day. That was right on the money. Thank God for you and your faithfulness to come into the Blog Talk Church line, and God bless you and God provide for you. God sure continue to show you mercy and grace as you go throughout the day. God continue to bless your hands and give you good eyes to see through darkness. You know, that you see the enemy before the enemy see you, that you will always be abreast of the enemy and all of his tricks. This is my prayer for you. Your mom was on the line for quite some time today, and we just bless the Lord for her searching out the things of the world, you know, and that's how we get understanding. You know, a lot of times they're not giving us what we need to know to make us wise to the tricks of the enemy. We got to search for them ourselves. That's why we post, she and I, we post the things that we post. A lot of people don't post the stuff that she posts or I post, because they're not looking for those things. They're just receiving what the government say to them, and they think that's it. But the government's not telling us the truth. They're giving us what we call a half-truth, and we know that a half-truth is a lie. It's a lie, you know. I posted on, the Lord told me last night, Ukraine has not asked for $1. Not $1. All that president over there was asking the countries to do is send him weapons so he can fight. And we are sending billions upon billions upon billions, because what they're doing, they're laundering the money. They're trying to get as much money out of the United States for them and their people. That's what they're doing. They're sending a lot of money out of this country. You know, so when they get moved out of office, they would have all this money. They'd be living in somewhere in Holland or somewhere that the government can't touch them. They go somewhere else, you know. These people are smart. So they're laundering the money out of here. They got another $40 billion that they're getting ready to send out of here. But I think it was Ted Cruz or Ron Paul. Ron Paul, he voted against it. So it's on hold right now, but they're still trying to get that $40 billion out of here. And, you know, you're going to send out all this money. That money can finish the border. It can finish the border and still build homes for the homeless that's on the street, a lot of the homeless. $40 billion is a lot of money, man. You can buy a country with that. And but, you know, they're doing what they're doing, what I called it, the Lord dropped the spirit last night. They are fleecing, like Jeremiah talked about, they are fleecing the United States of America. This government that we have now, they're fleecing the United States of America. They're fleecing the people. There's no way that the government should be doing what they're doing to this nation. There's no reason. I mean, how you can have all these people on the streets? Man, I saw them in California. I said, Lord, it hurt my heart. In Louisiana, they're all on the street. Here in Boston.
Right, you tell the truth.
They're here in Florida. They're all over the country. I mean, they're here. We got them here, man, on the streets, on the bridge, man. They move them from one place. Yep. They send the police to move them by the hundreds. Yep. And then they go somewhere else. And we send them billions and billions of dollars overseas to help fight a war, to kill people. And we got people dying here on the streets, man. I don't really see the logic in that, Minister Jones. I don't see the logic in it. I can't see it. How will you help pay for send money, say you're paying because the people, I tell you again, they didn't ask for no money. They asked for weapons. You know, you usually give them money if they're going to buy weapons, but they don't have to buy weapons. You're sending them weapons. So why are you sending them money? Something is wrong with that picture. You got to think about it, for real. And we got so many people that said people dying in Texas. People dying all on the streets. Laredo, Texas, so they're dying. See, the man was saying, the congressman, man, he said, if you just come, I was listening to a lady last night. She said, look, I want people to come. She said, I want the truckers to come and block off the path from the border. That's what she was saying last night. She said, I'm asking all the truckers to come at the end of this month to come to the border and block off the border. It says, I want the people to come down here and see how many people are dead on the streets in the bush. Hundreds and hundreds of people are dead on the streets. Dead bodies. One governor over there, he's in Texas, Governor Abbott, he said she got hundreds of people dead on the street. They're taking dead bodies off the streets. People come out the desert, they ain't got no water, they ain't got no food. I mean, they're looking, some of them looking for a better life. Some of them come here to do drugs, to sell drugs. They come here to work for the cartels. And said that the woman said last night, hurt my Mr. Jones, it hurt my stomach, man. She said that one man was around the cartels and they cut open his guts, man. The woman says they said his guts was out on the ground. They cut open his guts like a pig. Can you imagine a human being doing that to another human being? And we opening the border for all this crap to come in our country. And I was telling my wife the other day, and I said, people are not seeing anything. They say that they are Democrats or they're Republican, whatever they are. I said, but wait till they get to their own neighborhood. Wait till they get, and it's going to get to a neighborhood. It's just a matter of time. It's going to get to your neighborhood. There was a white man was talking on the news. He was on the news channel the other day, and he said that he went out his backyard, and he said the people, the immigrants, was right there standing up in his backyard. In his backyard, a lady said that they were trying to get into her house, pulling on the door. So what do you think they're gonna do? If they go in a house and find a little old lady in the house, you know them people don't care nothing about killing nobody. They take their life. Take their life and take all their belongings. Take their TV, take the jewelry, take the food, take everything, you know. So we got to pray, man. I mean, it's time for prayer.
I don't mean to interrupt. That's why we have to really pray, because it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse in America.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you,
right,
man, the blood is crying for Jesus. The Lord said, vengeance is mine, fear of the Lord. God is going to deal with them. Oh, believe me, it's coming. God is going to deal with them. And all that we can do is keep praying to make sure we've been in the right place. Because so many people are dying, or even crossing the borders. You know, even, you know, the more I pray and God lays stuff on your spirit about stuff that are happening around the world. And, man, you got people are dying just trying to cross the Pacific Ocean from Africa and other countries because they're trying to find a new life. And they're being murdered by the government, and they're covering it up. Like all the people that came from Haiti. What happened to them people? It was on the news for a moment, and they took it off. They probably done killed all them people, man. They probably killed all the people, man. Don't tell them what that happened. But God knows, and there's a lot of blood in their hands. And God going to deal with them.
Right.
You know, they might be trying to get with all of us, and they might kill all of us. But one thing about it, judgment day coming. They coming. They going to have to pay for what they doing. God ain't God that mark. Obviously, the God word said, whatever man sow, he going to reap. So they going to reap what they sow. It's just a matter of time.
That's
they
right.
going to reap it. So,
that's
you know,
right.
And so, you know, you got to... That's why you have to have a life of prayer, because prayer is not just for you and your family. It's for people that are out there suffering. You got people that blood that's crying from the street. That's crying from the street.
Mm.
People are dying all across the world. I mean, human trafficking going on. You got sex trafficking.
That's right.
You got children that people don't even know about, the reptilian race, that are eating people, eating babies. And there's a lot of undercover stuff
that's
going on. That it's going to power up. When we pray in the spirit, we able to fight against these things. And we have angels that are dispatched of God that can go out and put a stop to a lot of this stuff. Like these abortion clinics. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, these abortion clinics are modern-day altars of Satan. You know, that's all they are. They're like the altar of Baal. We go back in the Old Testament, they sacrifice babies. And that's all abortion clinics are, altars of Satan. That's all they are. When a woman go in there and that baby 10 months years old, and they say, I don't want my baby, and then they go in there and they sacrifice that baby and say that they think they're doing some justice, and really the blood is in their hand. But once you allow that baby to die, ripping it like that, you get blood in your hand. And I'm not saying God won't forgive you, you know, he forgive whoever you want to forgive. But, you know, you give your baby to Satan. And that's all abortion clinics are, is Luciferian altars. They alter the baby. That's why they are marching now, because Satan wants more sacrifice. And so when the church was praying against it, and a lot of them got shut down, that was prayer that was doing that. Now they're trying to get it back, because that was altars that was free blood, a sacrifice that they were getting over to Satan. By people going there whispering, not knowing the depths of Satan, allowing this to happen. And so, you know, that's why you have to pray that God give you a spirit to see and hear what Satan is doing. You got all, like that, when you riding and you got the spirit of God, and you can hear the cry all over the world. Just driving me driving in the truck. You can have, if you get the closer you get to God, it's good to pray. You might have a child somewhere that's kidnapped, that's crying from a dungeon somewhere. And your prayer can get that child can be released and be able to get away from danger because you praying. And that's why you have to pray. That's the power of prayer. People don't know it because, you know, like the prophet, she always teaches on, she's been teaching on it for years. People don't know it because people don't take the prayer serious, because to them, prayer is just a low part of being in church. People think the high position in church is being behind the podium and having a big position, but the highest position in the church, and I'm trying to learn that, I learned a lot, you know, being probably, you know, she's my mother, is in prayer. That's the highest position in the body of Christ, is prayer. Because that's where the enemy has stopped a lot of churches. If we kept prayer, a power of prayer in the churches, it would be more powerful. And a lot of stuff the enemy, like, you know, prophecy saying on here a while back, the enemy would never be so successful if we would have kept the prayer wall up. You don't have to see each other praying anymore, man. Pastor, they have a concert, have a pastor anniversary, and all that there, and the people are crying out, looking for help. You got the world looking for the sons of God, the manifestation for the sons of God. They're looking for the truth, but you got the wrong people that are not whispering. And Jesus told the leader, said, when you see the sword, warn the people, and they're not warning people. And so you just got to, you know, just keep praying that God awakens the leaders. That's all I have to say. I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I love you, man. God bless you.
You're good. But that's the truth. And, you know, we have the pastor anniversary. We got the pastor's wife's birthday. We got the pastor's birthday. And we got the church anniversary. And all this stuff is money-making thing. But, you know, people are dying from the church and going to hell from the church because people are not interceding. People are not taught to repent, you know. They're not taught about that stuff, you know. You come, just come. Come to church. Lord, you come in here. Give your tithes and give your offering. You are good with God. You are all right. God said no. You said in the word this morning. God is not concerned about the money. He's not. The money is to take care of the church affairs. God is concerned about your heart. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what could you give in exchange for your soul? And people are not telling you that. They say, well, if you just pray and just ask God, God will give it to you. God wants you to do it. Yes, God wants you to be blessed, but it's his contingency. He said, even as your soul prosper. So your blessing comes by your soul prosper. How do your soul prosper? Your soul prosper
Amen.
By the
yes,
word
sir.
Of God. The word of God. You know, he said, well, God, he said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even. See the contingency, even as your soul prosper. So everything is contingent of your soul prospering, your soul living for God. This is why the people will stand up, they say, oh, this is that. But God said, look, man looks at the outside, but I look at the heart. I'm looking at the heart. Where's your heart to God? Your heart, can your heart touch God? Is your heart, can your heart, is your heart in the right position to touch God? This is what it's all about. You see them people with dead people in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 10, that they were crying out underneath the stairs. These are dead people. Their blood was crying out, just like Abel's blood was crying out from the ground. Their blood was crying out, and I asked the Lord how long before he revenged their blood. And he let them know that there's other saints that got to die first. There's other saints before he come. That's what he's talking about. Before he come and bring judgment to the earth. So many people are going to die. Many saints are going to die for the kingdom, for the word of God, for truth. Many saints are going to die for truth. So we got to be ready and willing to die for truth. In other words, we can't compromise the truth because things are happening. Things are happening. I thought about them little girls. That little girl died. Hey, man, you see, she was pretty. Ooh, so you should have seen her, Minister Jones. You should have seen her on YouTube or Facebook. She was pretty. And since the man says that she went from, and I'm not saying that out of lust, I'm just saying that out of how the kind that she, like a princess of God, one of God's princes. God have drawn her from a poor family, and she grew up and came up from nothing, from elementary school, and now she's in college doing great. And the man was saying to get to the place that she was in her state, that she had to be very, very smart intellectually. Her mindset has grown so strong, and they would just kill her because she was talking about, when they were talking about that, she was saying the fire of God, fire of God, the fire of God. And they got offensive by that. She didn't really talk, and they claim she talked against the Muslim religions, but she was seeing the fire of God because they was putting Allah, or what you call him, putting him higher than God. They were putting Muhammad. They were putting Muhammad higher than God, you know. And the site that she was on was supposed to be a school site.
talking about school. And the Muslim's kid was using the site to glorify Muhammad instead of talking about school work. And she rebuked that, and they stoned her, and when she fell down, they light her on fire and burn her alive. 200 people, men and boys, stoned her, and girls, stoned her to death and burned her. And then the other woman I was telling my wife about, that they took off her clothes because her clothes were anti-fire combustion. Her clothes will not burn. So they took her clothes off, and she was pregnant. Listen to me. She was pregnant, and they burned her alive and threw her in the oven. You hear me? They threw her in the oven and burned her alive. And then the man.
Hey, that blood, they're going to be in their hand, too. God going to judge them for
that.
Don't believe that. Don't believe that. They think they're doing some justice. They don't even know. They really don't know.
Yeah.
Bible says it's best for you to take a rope and tie yourself and throw yourself in the sea to mess with one of these little ones.
That's right.
God going to deal with them for it. But it's more coming. It happened in the Old Testament. A lot of the saints got burnt up and sold in hot boiled oil and got cut in half and all kinds of stuff happened. And our day coming too. But you know, it's time to be. You got to get full of God, man. You got to get full of God, man. That's what really matters the most. And it hurt, man. I just makes you cry to see the evil and wicked of man heart. When you burn up a woman with a child in her, an infant child, over a religion that ain't even biblical. Something that a fallen angel told a man. Because the Holy Quran was written by a man that he said an angel told him. And the Bible clearly says, even if an angel come down and tell you something different, then God told him not to change his word. And that's what happened with the Quran. If you look at it, man, the Holy Quran, people, I feel sorry for people, man. And you just have to keep praying. It hurt me. I prayed this morning because there's so many people dying all over the world because of believing in Christ. And, it's getting ready to come like that in America. They just trying to find a way to do that, to, judge us because of what we believe in, But they seeing that them taking the Bible and telling us not to talk about Christ is not working. That's why we got to face, might end up facing death, before Jesus come to believe in what we believe in. But, like you said, if you be afraid to lose your life, you won't find it. But if you lose your life because Christ say, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He said, "You didn't believe in God, believe also in me." And he said, then he told his disciples after their heart was troubled because he believed him. But just to say that, our heart should be troubled because Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place, and where I go, that will you be will be also." You don't have to, I ain't misquote the word, but you go out searching for yourself. And so, we still have a chance through God, through Jesus Christ. I can't help myself, but I love you, man. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Jones. This is the key about when you're teaching and preaching the word of God. More people are going to hear. When you hear, this is how we respond. We're helping each other even right now as we talk. The things that are happening. I just posted that last night on internet that people may escape judgment now and think that they're won.
That's right.
They think they're won, but I posted last night. Mm. But judgment is coming.
Okay.
The judgment of man in this world, but you don't escape the judgment of God. No one going to escape the judgment. No one. Whether good or bad, no one going to escape. He coming too. And the Bible says it's in his mouth. Oh, my God, my God. You hear what I'm saying? It's in his mouth. Judgment is in his mouth, the two-edged sword. That's the word.
Yes, sir.
It's in his mouth. And that's what he's going to destroy them with. No, it's not the sword. It's not a physical sword. It's the word. And when that word comes up, it's going to cut going and cut coming. It's going to destroy people out of the, just with the word. Just with the word. The word is going to cut them just like it was a knife. It's called a two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And glory to God. So folk think that they get in the way, that they escaping God's judgment. Nobody can, not even the cat or dog, nobody can escape God's judgment.
Nobody. No, sir. You tell the truth.
No way.
Money can't cost you. You can buy a bunker. I told my wife last night. She's looking at me. She said, they're building bunkers underneath. They got cities underneath New Orleans. Got cities underneath Washington, D.C. Cities. I'm talking about cities, okay? Underneath the ground. They build them. In Nevada, they have them over there. They have them in Alaska. They have them in Brazil. They got cities on the ground that they build because they think they can escape what's coming. You may escape some stuff from man, but you can't escape in God. You're talking about a God that walked through the wall. Doors cannot keep him out. You hear what I'm telling you? Metal doors cannot keep him out. He walked
in. Hell can't keep him out either.
Can't keep him out. The ocean can't keep him out.
Yes, sir.
You know what? When the disciples were in the room and they were conversing, talking about him, guess what he do? He showed up. He showed up in the middle of the conversation. They were like peeing in their pants. You know what I'm saying? Doubting Thomas was saying, look, only if I see his nail prints and I see the hole in his side, will I believe that he is alive. Jesus comes straight through the wall. Came through the wall. While then they're talking, conversing about him, arguing. The women are saying that they saw him. Because he told them, go tell the disciples that I'm here. And the women went and tell. But Thomas said, and then when the brothers start to believe, Thomas said, man, unless I see the nail prints and put my finger in his side, see the nail prints, I ain't believe nothing. And Jesus comes straight through the wall. I'm telling you something. He came straight through the wall. And Thomas says, my Lord, he said, because you see, you believe. Blessed are those that have not seen and believe, yet believe. Hallelujah, glory to God. We haven't physically seen the nail prints. We haven't physically seen the torn with the blood running down and the blood running on his back, but we believe. He said, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. I come to tell you today that what Christ is looking for is for us to honor him. Honoring him, believe in him. Obedience. Honor him by obedience. And see, a lot of people say they love the Lord. I love the Lord so much, but they don't obey the Lord.
No, they don't.
You don't obey. You got to obey him.
That means
you have to turn away. Stop doing the stuff that you know grieves the Lord.
Yeah.
When it grieves the Lord, we have to stop. If it's making me feel happy, making me feel good, does this please the Lord? Does this please the Lord? You know, you have to stop. We have to stop. That's what repentance is all about. If you read magazines that stimulate your body, and a lot of preachers do, but it doesn't move God. It agrees God to see you looking at nasty magazines. Stop. On the computer, on the phone, on the television, stop. Ask the Lord to heal you, deliver you, forgive you. And guess what? Instantly, the Bible said, instantly he delivered you. He forgives you. But now you got to stop. You can't go back and look at him because it makes you feel good when you're by yourself.
That's right.
This thing is real. And as a minister was saying too, and I said the same thing this morning, it's going to get worse. Believe it or not.
Sure,
my name is David Chalmers.
That's right.
It's going to get worse.
It's going worse, to get worse.
Worse, you say? Thanks.
And you hear all these people talking about the immigrants? You know, I feel for them that they have to leave their country to go to another country to try to make better. And I feel that the governments are making it so hard for them to get into another country to make a better life that they come another way. But you see, the problem is that they have the criminals now mixing in with the immigrants that really want to do better for to help their family. So now you have a disaster taking place. That's what it's all about. Because, you know, people will cry out and say, well, they're just immigrants. No, they're not just immigrants. You got immigrants mixed up with criminals, hiring criminals that were released from prisons and jails in these countries, 129 countries. That's a lot of countries. 129 countries have released hiring criminals that they no longer want in their country. You hear what I'm telling you? They're not telling you this, but this is what it is, that they don't want in their own country because these people can't live no other way as but killing people, abusing people. So the governments have released them from this country, get out of our country. And now they're coming to America to reap havoc on Americans. If you doubt me, go over there to Texas. You drive the truck. Go over there to Texas, and you will see what they're doing in the backyard out there in Laredo. I watch that stuff. I research it. I say, my God. And people say, well, I live here. I live in a certain place, and we live in a good neighborhood. Your neighborhood is not going to be good for too long. I'm telling you, it's not going to be good for too long.
Yes, sir. You tell the truth.
They're not coming in 12 people today and 12 people tomorrow. They're coming in by the thousands. By the thousands. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 30-some years. And I never saw a fence around the White House. I never saw a fence around Capitol Hill. Now they got these big, beautiful buildings that are all fenced in. Old people are being ravished in Washington, D.C., robbed and abused by these immigrants. And nobody's saying nothing or doing anything. I tell you, the only thing going to help us is prayer. If we don't want to become just like them, we got to pray. Because they're going to come to our families. And they're going to try to hurt our families. I tell you the truth. But anyway, the line is open. Thank you so much, Minister Jones. You always come on in and encourage us on the word. We pray for you. You pray for us. Keep us in prayer. And we'll continue to pray without ceasing and ask God to intervene on the behalf of our nation. Now, the scene now that that the Democrats got, this new wicked devil woman that they got from, I think she's a Russian or something, one of them people from down Ukraine or something that they got, no, they called her the Tsar. And for the administration, and she wants the power to edit any truth that is said from the Republicans, and that don't mean just Republicans. Anybody that's speaking truth on the internet, she wants the power to edit it.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying? That means when you speak something referring to Christ Jesus or salvation is truth. They can edit it. That means that they can cancel it, rub it out off the sites. I tell you, it's going to get worse. People, it's no time to sit down on your hand looking cute and minute. You got to get up off your, behind.
Hey, Apostle, what Jesus said, this world is not my home. The world is being shaken, man, by God. And God is putting us where we can get uncomfortable. Because as long as we're comfortable, we're not going to be focused on things of above. That's why he says, set your affection on things above. And a lot of affection is so caught on this earth. I believe God is shaking the earth to get us uncomfortable to keep our affection on him. Because as long as everything all right, people are not going to pray. And I believe sometimes God allows things to happen.
You better believe it.
That's the only way people are going to pray. If everything is comfortable and everything, and right now we done got fat and spoiled, and so now God got to shake us like he had to do the children of Israel if he had them in the wilderness. And so, you know, but he still took care of them, but, you know, I just believe that that our affection should start more and more. The things get worse, we should start putting our affection on things above. Yeah, we need money to pay our bills. Yeah, we need clothes and stuff to wear to church and whatever, and money to buy food. But all our affection should be searching on things above every day, searching ourselves, making sure that we are lined up with the word of God, as the apostle said, and keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I just ask
God,
help us keep his word and keep his commandments. You know, being a minister and whatever, you know, I'm not as deaf. I have to keep God's word, too. And then I'm more, you know, the Bible said, much is given and much is required. So, you know, I get a whipping verse of you because I know better. And so, you know, I'm not preaching just to tell you. I'm preaching to myself, too, because I need God just like everybody else needs. And God, if he can't keep me, I can't be kept. And so, you just have to pray and just really seek after God, you know, and start praying even more, asking God to help us, man. We really need a lot of praying. And, you know, even for the radio broadcast, prayer lines that are going up, we really have to really start getting in the place of prayer. And I'm asking God to help me even more. Lord, help me to pray more. And, Lord, let my prayer be sincere. I don't want to just come to your throne and just start talking. But, Lord, teach me how to come to you. Because, you know, sometimes people haven't been taught how to come to God. And not reverence him, respect him. And so you just got to ask God, Lord, teach me how to love you. I said it the other day. I think I told him, I was talking to another man of God that I know, another truck driver. And I said, man, I just, you know, just sitting here looking over my life, looking how good God been to me. And I said, man, I want to learn how to love God all over again. I want to learn how to love him all over again. I'm asking him to teach me how to love him again. Lord, teach me how to love you again. Teach me, Lord. Teach me. Help me to love you. Help me, God. I can't love. I don't know how to love you unless you show me. Teach me how to love you. And the love of God is his word. God, help me to love your word, God. Deliver me from TV, watching movies, and indulging in food and everything else. God, teach me how to love you and desire you like I desire a nice pair of shoes or suit. Lord, teach me to desire you like I like, you know, everybody like different food. I like soul food. I like all type of food. I like to eat. Lord, give me that same desire that I have when I want to eat.
Hallelujah.
Give me that desire for you, your word, the same way. God, give me that desire. Lord, you said that your word says, those that are hungry and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. So, Lord, give me a desire for righteousness. Give me the desire, give me the desire, God. Give me wisdom. Help me to be me, God. That's what I need. I need you, Lord, to help me. Because without you, I can't do right. Without you, Lord, I'd be hateful. I'd be angry. I'd be frustrated because of the things that are going on, the racism that are rising up. God, I'd be angry. I'd be frustrated, Lord. Help me to follow peace with all my men, like you said in your word. You said, follow peace with all men. Holiness without. No man shall see the Father. Only the pure heart shall see God. Help me, Lord, to be pure. Help me to follow peace, God. Help me, God. I need your help. Help me, Lord. Like David said, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Wash me that I may be white as snow, God. God, don't take your presence away from me. Help me, God. Lord, if you don't help me, I can't be helped. If you take your presence from me, I'm already dead. I'm done. I'm a dead man walking without you, Lord. So I need you to help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me.
Help
you know, cry from your soul. Cry from your soul.
Lord.
And he'll help you. He'll move. He'll move, God. He'll promise. He'll promise people. He done kept us this far. So, you know, God is able to do it. Is able to do a bit above all we ask and think. According to the power working, and that's the power of God.
Yes,
God bless you. I love
yes.
you, man.
Thank you. We love you more. God bless you, sir. God bless you for your input every
yes,
time
sir.
You come. My God, you encourage me. Make me want to do more for the kingdom. It is so, so good, you know. Oh, my Lord, I love the word of God and know that we have some people that are so excited about the things of heaven. No, because it's not about this stuff here on earth. It's the things of heaven. It's the things of heaven. We have to get our mind right. Our soul got to be right. Got to be right with heaven. Got to get right. Got to get right. So I'm truly excited. You know, I'm looking at things, you know, making some plans because God said that the funds that we are waiting for should be released. Shortly, as soon as they're released, I tell you, I'm already trying to connect with some people that can do better in carpentry because I'm good with the air conditioning and the heat stuff and plumbing. But, you know, I can do some carpenter work too, but not on a full scale. But I'm trying to connect with some carpenters that can, you know, build a whole building, put on the roof, and stuff, because I want to build a lot of homes for these vets in my neighborhood and, you know, build for them and make sure they're clothed and have food and all that stuff. And the money coming. We're going to have more than enough. And our God going to bless us. And they're talking about the release this month, but I pray that this is the month. You know, because they've been seeing this for a long time. Every month, this is the month. This is the day. This is the week. But we pray that this time, that our God touch the hearts and minds of those in authority and release the funds so we can do we can help the world. Because it's not about us. It's never about us. We're not trying to get the funds so that we can push our chest up like the Pharisee. We want to be like the tax collector that would not even look up to God because we know that we have not reached that place that we can be proud enough to say, yes, Lord, I did this or I did that. But we'll keep our head bowed down, knowing that we are sinners saved by grace. And because of the grace that he's bestowed upon us, we can now extend all grace and all love unto others. That's what it's all about. It's all about doing the will of God, doing the will of God. I thank God for you all today. And we're going to pray and close out. Nobody else have a word to share. We're going to pray and close out and get out of here. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. Love Talk Radio will be on to glorify the Lord, to edify the body, and terrify the devil. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you for Mother Grant that came on for a while, then she had to go. And thank you for Evangelist Kershey, and we thank you for Deacon Fraser, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word that you have given us and even for all that Minister Jones has put in and added to the sermon today, Lord God, that we all can gravitate to, that we can grow from, Lord God, because your word truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is the fertilizer that we need for our soul. We ask, Father, as we leave this line, but not your presence, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go, that you continue to make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath, O God. We are praying even right now, Lord God, that you will release the blessings, O God, from this global recovery reset. O God, that we be able to help those that you have put in our path to help, O God. Lord, that we can help establish the covenant that you have placed upon our lives, O God. Father, we pray, O God, for Lord God, for Minister Jones, as he's out there working for his family, working and helping establish the kingdom as he shares the word. We ask, O God, for you wrap your arms around him as the apple of your eye, and God, protect him against everything seen and unseen, O God. Lord, give him a word in this season and out of season, Lord. Lord, that he will have a word to share of the hope that's abiding him, O God. Father, we ask you to cause his tongue to become like fire, the pen of a redder writer, that as he opens his mouth to speak, God, that even the very oracles of heaven will proceed out of his mouth, God. Father, we pray for his mother as she's out there working, Lord God. We ask, Father God, for you provide for her open doors, God, more doors that no one can close and close doors that no one can open, Lord. We ask you to assign people to her that will help her in ministry, that will go help us to go further, that help her to reach even higher, O God, and even deeper, Lord God. We pray, Father God, yes, Lord, we pray for her daughter and for her grandchildren, O God, all her grandchildren, Lord God, that you cover them. Lord, let the oil that you put upon her life drip off like Aaron's beard, drip off upon the people that you connect to her, even her family, immediate family, and even her Christian family. Lord, we pray today, Lord God. We are praying for your church, Lord God. We are praying for your church, Lord God, because we know that in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, you talk about seven churches, but you know you're only coming back for one church, and that is the church that you have shed your blood for, the church without spot and without blemish, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray today, Lord God, that you begin to energize your church, that you begin to sterilize your church, that you begin to sanctify your church and set your church apart, oh God, that your church will come up from among the world and be separated, that your church will not touch the unclean thing. We ask that you touch the angel of every church that you have set up, Lord God. We pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you cause us to become one as you are one. Father, let the blood that shed from Calvary that never loses first estate to rest upon us, O God. Rest upon our hearts, rest upon our minds, our eyes, our ears, our lips, our feet, our hands of clay, God. And God, help us to look beyond the faults of others and see their needs, O God, that we never push up our chest like we believe that we arrive, O God, or that we have it together, Lord God, but we will walk knowing that it's you, that because you live and move, we have our being. Oh, Father God, that we are walking and we are focused, that we know that you're the one that's leading us, that you're the one that has empowered us, you're the one that's keeping us. Father, we pray, Lord God, for the President of the United States of America, the Vice President, for the Congress, Lord, we are praying for the Senators, the Supreme Court Justice Department, the local magistrate, the police department. Lord, there's so many policemen that are acting contrary to the law that they have signed on to serve and protect, Lord God. Lord, some people got in there, some of the people got in there, men and women have got into the police departments just so that they can wear a badge and wear a gun, and then they can treat other nationalities, other races, oh God, as if they are animals, if they are dogs, because they went in there with bad intentions, oh God, to live in their evil ways. Lord, we ask today in the name of Jesus that you remove them by force or by fire. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we pray today, Lord God, for a transformation, a revival to take place in our nation, not only in our nation, but all over the world. We ask you to remove the warlocks, remove the soothsayers, remove the hoodoo workers and the witches and the warlocks, Lord. Remove those witch doctors, God. We pray today in the name of Jesus that you will show up and show out, God. Do what only you can do. You are the God that sits high and sees low. You are the sovereign God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Yes, Lord, you are the mighty God, the great I am, the lily of the valley, the early morning star, O God, the land of the tribe of Judah. You are Jehovah Shabbat, Jehovah Tishkenu, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah El Shaddai. Lord God, you are Jehovah Rapha. Lord, we thank you right now. You are Elohim. God, you're Emmanuel. And God, we praise your name. We glorify your name. Oh, we honor you right now, oh God, for healing the sick and raising the dead, for opening blind eyes, for unstopping deaf ears and causing the crippled to walk, oh God. We are praising you, oh God, because you are the great God. Yes, Lord, the great high priest, the one who, oh, laid down your life, oh God, for your sheep, oh God. You are a good shepherd. Oh, Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning, oh God. We ask you, oh God, to watch over our families, oh God. Watch over our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. God, we are praying for the teachers, and we are praying for the children in the schools, oh God. There's so much going on, oh God. Lord, we ask you to touch the children, oh God. Children are being born brainwashed. God, we ask you to touch the television station, touch the computer, oh God, touch the Twitter, touch Facebook, touch Instagram, touch, oh God, Periscope. Lord, yes, Lord, we ask you to touch LinkedIn. Oh God, we ask, Father God, to touch every internet entity, oh God. We ask you to touch the news media. Lord, Father God, we ask you to move through the earth rim. Lord, you know the things that need to be touched. You know the things that need to be changed. You know the things that need to be pulled down and uprooted. Oh, Father God, we ask you to move, oh God, this morning. This afternoon, oh God, Lord, let not the enemy reign. Let not the enemy laugh and mock your people, oh God. We ask you, Father God, to stand up as the good shepherd, oh God, and protect the sheep from the wolves, oh God. We are praying today in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare and decree, oh God, in the name of Jesus, by the power that you invested in us, oh God, that you are standing, oh God, you are standing in our midst, because you say wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. And Father, we believe this, oh God. God, because it's your word. Oh, mighty God, mighty Savior, Lord God, oh God, the great I am. We call upon you this morning, this afternoon, God. We ask you to go through the hospital, go through the corridors of the hospital, and begin to touch the sick, oh God. Raise up the dead, oh God. God, open the blind eyes and unstop the deaf ears, God. The doctors say that it's impossible for this one to come out the hospital because cancer has invaded their body, has invaded their lungs, their kidneys, oh God, the pancreas, the prostate, oh God, yes, Lord, the breast, Lord God, the brain. But Father, we declare and decree in the name of Jesus, the name that's above all names, the great Yeshua. Yes, Lord, Yahweh, we call upon you right now, and we ask you to move through the corridors of the hospital and invade the hospital rooms, oh God. Go in the ICU, God, and the ones that the doctors working on right now, God, is fighting, oh God. And so many doctors that surround this body that's been shot, oh God, I see it in the spirit. But God, I declare it right now that you are there, Lord. You are the doctor. You are the head doctor. Oh, mighty God, I ask you, oh God, to let all go as well. What they said is impossible, God, is possible with you, God. So, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for shaking up the old ground. Yes, Lord, you're breaking up the fallow ground right now. Yes, Lord, shake it up this morning. Lord, we are seeking you right now. We ask you to help us to break up the fallow ground as we seek your face, as we wait till you come and rain down righteousness upon us. We ask you, Father God, help us, oh God, to expose our hearts before you and not try to cover our hearts. That means cover our sin, oh God, because you said that sin that are covered cannot be delivered, oh God. Lord, we ask, God, that we can expose ourselves, oh God, before you. Doesn't matter what men or women say, God, we bring every care of this world that is covered trying to hold us down. We lay them before you, Lord. You said cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. And God, we come to you, God. You said come on to you, all that labor and heavy laden, you'll give us rest. Lord, we thank you today, and we praise you, oh God, for covering our highways and our airways, our waterways, our trainways. Oh God, we ask you to cover the street corners, oh God, cover the slums, oh God, for those men and women that have to be in the slums, living in the slums, Lord. Lord God, and the little that they have, they're trying to save. Lord, we ask you to cover them, cover the homeless, cover, oh God, the orphans, oh God, cover the, oh God, the widows, oh God. We ask you to cover the fatherless, the motherless. Lord, we ask you to come this afternoon, God, and do arise in us, O God. Arise and let your glory shine, O God, and let the light of the Lord shine upon us today, Lord. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we glorify your name. We honor you this day, Lord God. Touch Mother Grant as she go out there to cook and give and feed the sick and the homeless on the streets, O God. We ask you to protect her when she's going through those alleys in the nighttime with her car to feed the homeless, O God. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus, protect her against all hurt, harm, and danger. Father, not only only her, Lord. We pray for Pastor Brown and Pastor Evangelist Brown, Lord God, as they're trying to raise up a church in their home. Oh, God, we ask that you add to that body, Lord God, and bring them, cause them to humble themselves and know that it's not about them, that it's about you, Lord God. We are praying today in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you begin to sanctify us, oh God. Saturate us with your glory, oh God. And God, humble us in the way that we should walk and the way we should talk, the way we should treat each other, Lord God. Let us have, oh God, let us not look down on anyone unless our intention is to lift them up. Let us be like the Good Samaritan and not like the priest and the Levite. Father, we are praying today, Lord God, that you help us, oh God. Because we have not arrived to that place that we can say that we arrived. We have not gotten to that place that we can testify that we got it all together, Lord. We know that we don't, but we know you do. So, Father, we ask you to help us to hold on to the skirt, to the border of your robe, oh God. We stay down there because that's in the mindset of humility, Lord God. And we ask you to rest your hands upon our head, oh God. Touch us, oh God, with the anointing, oh God, that destroy every yoke upon us. Oh God, touch us, oh God, with the anointing, oh God, that remove burdens from us, oh God. Heal our heart, heal our liver, heal our kidneys. Cause our blood to flow freely, Lord God. We are praying today, Lord God, that you'll be our doctor. You'll be our lawyer, Lord God. Yes, Lord, you'll be the one that stand for us, our advocate, oh God. We thank you, Father God, that you stand in the midst, oh God, in the throne room, oh God, making intercessions for us, Lord. We ask today in the name of Jesus that you go through the corridors of our streets, oh God. Go through the corridors of our streets and begin to touch the drug addict, touch the prostitute, touch the homosexual, touch the lesbian, oh God. Touch these people, that even the ones that decide that they want to give their life over to Satan, oh God. Lord, we ask you to draw them back from the pit of hell, oh God, that Satan will not be able to rejoice that he has stolen something from you. Oh, Father, we pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, for you to continue to saturate the atmosphere, the north wind, the south wind, the east wind, and the west wind, oh God, and let it carry your word. Let it carry your word each day as you teach and preach your word, oh God. Let it not return void, but let it accomplish what you sent it to do, Lord. We ask today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you touch Minister Andrea Butners, Lord, that you open the door to, oh God, so our husband can come through, oh God, into the United States. He is coming in the right way, and it's finally hard for him to get here. He has already applied and got his visa and everything, Lord God, but they're finding all types of stuff to hold him back from allowing him to come to the United States. Yet they have all of these means on illegal criminals coming into our country, oh God. Father, we just thank you right now, Lord God. We just praise you right now. We glorify your prayer for the evangelist Darlene Campbell, oh God, who comes in on Saturday, Lord God. We just pray, oh God, that you protect her and her daughters and her sons, oh God, who is part of the armed force. Lord God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for her grandchildren, and we pray for Pastor Benny in Mississippi, Lord God, that we minister in his church while we were there. Oh, Father, we just thank you right now, oh God. We thank you and praise you, oh God. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We thank you, oh God, for what you're doing right now. Oh, Father, we thank you for the shifting that's taking place in the earth right now. We thank you, Father God, for you say, if your people which are called by your name would humble themselves and pray and seek your face, that you would hear from turn from their wicked way, you will hear from heaven and you will forgive their sins and heal their land. Right now, I believe that the land is shifting, oh God. Yes, Lord, there's a shift going on in the spiritual realm, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you right now. We thank you for Africa. We thank you for India. We thank you for Japan and Afghanistan. We thank you for Iraq. We thank you for Syria. Thank you for Egypt, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for Jerusalem. We thank you for Israel. Lord, thank you for the prime ministers, oh God. Yes, Lord, we pray right now for even those that are trying to work all this satanic agenda, they're trying to steal our babies and steal our children, Lord. We ask you to arrest them, dispatch the heavenly host, our angel Gabriel and Michael and Raphael and all the other angels, oh God, that work for the heavens, oh God, for heavenly cause, oh God, dispatch them, oh God, to break the strongholds of Satan and his agents, oh God. We ask you, mighty God, to move, oh God. Let your love overcome all the evil that's in the earth, oh God. We know that love is stronger than hate, so Father, we depend and trust in on you right now. Oh, Father, we ask right now that we ask you to touch Apostle Ronnie Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. God, we ask you to touch them and touch their ministry, Lord God. Saturate their ministry, Lord. Draw back all those that left the ministry and went out and moved to different states, oh God, because of the pandemic. Draw them back to New Orleans, oh God, Louisiana, that they would go back and build a church, build a body of believers, oh God, that men and women would see that the church, the body, is growing, and they would come and join the house of worship, oh God, and serve you, not serve Ronnie or serve Joyce, but serve you, God. I pray this morning, oh God, that you begin to touch the children in that ministry. Touch the children, oh God, that the children will not go because the grandfather's there or the grandmother's there, but they'll go because they want to be closer to you, God. We ask you to touch the children all over the United States, all over the world, in the Caribbean, in Europe, oh God. We ask you in Hawaii, everywhere, God, touch the children, oh God. We are losing too many children to this satanic agenda, Lord God. We praying today in the name of Jesus that you dispatch angels that are willing to stand up and cut loose and cut off those that are working the satanic agenda to take our children's lives and take their body parts for satanic rituals, oh God. We pray today and we cover this prayer as we leave this line in the blood of Jesus, God. And even as we leave this line, oh God, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit will continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you love them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you speak to them, somebody's ear gate, that will make all the difference in their lives. And may stop someone from committing suicide. It may stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. All Jesus wants the world to see in us is the light of God, that they may be drawn to Christ Jesus, to the Father. In Jesus' name, I love you guys so much. But remember, God loves you more. Have a blessed evening, a safe evening. And whatever you do, make sure that it's pleasing to God. Make sure it's pleasing to God. God bless you. Bye-bye. Whew. Bye-bye.